Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You get the SEO win on what is Counting Coup. Oh,
really?
Man, you're in for a traffic windfall, Addison.
Because of the show?
I'm not the only one who Googles obscure things like this. Hello, Addison!
I can't come in that, like, excited. Billy, I sobbed this episode, so I'm sorry. I can't meet the excitement that you have in your voice. I'm glad that you're excited to see me, but I can't. I'm just sad.
Should we start with a moment of silence?
Yes.
Okay, that's long enough, because this is a podcast, and a moment of silence is
Billy
just
didn't
not
like
a good
staring
idea.
At me that long in silence. So sad.
Yeah, it hit you hard. I guess it didn't hit me that hard.
Billy, I couldn't decide if it was just like maybe my lack of sleep or whatever, but I was legitimately sobbing. I was unwell.
Okay, we're obviously talking about the major death in episode 12 of Yellowstone. And so if you've not watched, you got to get out of here now because we're about to get into it. But, you know, we haven't seen a lot of this character so far this season. So really, it's been like 2 years for me. So I've kind of forgotten who he was. And even at the time, he was like right above Jake and Ethan in terms of the bunkhouse's most important characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe that's why I wasn't as emotional.
I was emotional because, we're speaking very obscurely here.
All right.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, you've watched it. And if you haven't, like, but these aren't spoilers. It's out there already, you know?
Colby died.
And I think we should leave people on the cliffhanger real quick because we should talk about trivia before we get into all of the raw emotions and everything.
That's a good idea. And I actually got some listener response to Colby's death as well that kind of brings a little new interesting tidbit, I think, to the show. That's appreciated. I got more than just trivia this week, though. Throughout the episode, I have a number of other things I want to talk about.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. My bags are packed for this
just
episode.
Coming in hot today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm here for it.
I have an update on the 4-6s.
Praise God.
I know definitively what show the crew and maybe even some of the cast are going to be working on next after this series wraps in a couple of weeks.
Who have you talked to, Billy?
And,
who do you know?
And at the end of this podcast, after Anna and I do our thing where we finish and she fumbles through her clothes like she usually does, we say goodbye. Hang tight. That's not the end because Sterling Whitaker is going to join me for a 10 to 15 minute chat about Landman. He and I chatted. He's kind of our Landman expert right now. This is the Billy Bob Thornton show.
He is.
Made by Taylor Sheridan. And we're rolling this out as kind of an introduction to Landman, but we also sort of want some feedback on if Landman is a show you want us to sort of talk about in this kind of way. Because I think come January, February, we're very much going to be looking for a new show to watch and talk about.
Yeah, I've actually been watching Landman. Fun fact, we haven't talked about that, but I have been watching. I feel like it's not as – I mean, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole. But when it comes to visual effects, it doesn't feel as well done. But, can't pick and choose.
Yeah, well, there's less to – sort of work with, but we could talk about Landman, you and I, a little bit later today if you want as well, before we talk to Sterling.
Okay, great.
Okay.
But first, we should go to trivia.
Trivia. As always, trivia is for one of the Y collection, which is what we're calling our Dutton Rules inspired merchandise at the Taste of Country store. If you go to tasteofcountrystore.com, you can find the Y collection, some very cool t-shirts, sweatshirts, and whatnot. And the first person to email the correct answer to staff@tasteofcountry.com wins a t-shirt. Last week's trivia question was very hard. I thought it was very hard, but we got many, many, many correct answers.
Oh.
Yeah, I was blown away by this. This week's trivia, by the way, is very easy. But anyway, last week's trivia question was this. We did a list of the 10 best deaths from Yellowstone, the 10 best revenge moments, most satisfying moments of death. Number one was the death of the two men who attacked Beth at her office during season two, the masked men. One of those actors holds a very important role in another active Taylor Sheridan show. Who is he, or who is the character? And the answer is an actor named Dominic Lombardozzi, who plays Chicky on Tulsa King. The bald New York mob boss is Chicky, and that was the masked man.
Well, I haven't seen Tulsa King, so I can't even have a point of reference here, but interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of a cool thing when I put all that together, and I kind of asked that as sort of a back pat for myself. I'm not going to lie. I've been waiting for a moment to kind of get that fact out into the universe just so I can
just give myself
one of these. Yeah.
Okay.
100%. That was a flex. So two people I want to mention here. First of all, Kristen was the first person in. Kristen, congratulations. She knew it was Chicky, and you get one of those shirts
from
the Taste of Country store. But I also want to pay a tribute, and this is just a mention, Johnny. You don't win a t-shirt. But he pointed out that Dominic Lombardozzi was a tow truck driver in one of my favorite movies called For the Love of the Game, which starred Kevin Costner.
Hey.
It's a great Kevin baseball movie. And I've said it's like one of the best date night movies of all time because it's got a little sports, a little love story. Like, it's just bingo bango. It's right there.
Wow. Okay. Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. You probably want to know this week's trivia question.
Yeah, I was just going to let you go for it, but I can tee you up. Billy, what is this week's trivia?
An easy one. And this is my way of maybe paying homage to our fallen ranch hand. What is Colby's last name?
Heck if I know. They're not calling people by the first name. Like, Teeter, what's her last name?
I Googled that. As far as the internet knows, she doesn't have one.
Well, I'm excited to learn his last name next week.
staff@tasteofcountry.com, first person in. And honestly, you got to do it quick because I get emails within minutes. So many emails this season of the Dutton Rules podcast. It's been great. And our listeners, like the number of listeners has been fantastic as well, which we really, really appreciate. But
that's exciting.
Yeah, I went down the whole rabbit hole of like character. I was trying to figure out Teeter's, like, if they ever said like her legal name, like, is she Teresa? Do you think she's like Tammy? Like, actually, she strikes me as like a double name, like a Tammy Sue.
Teeter. She does not strike me as a double name. No. Double names are for refined Southern girls. Like, that's what I think of.
That's why she went as Teeter, because she's not. Like, the mom made a mistake. No?
I think it's Teresa. Teeter, Teresa, Tammy.
All right. Fair enough.
Tammy Sue. Wow. Tammy
That's
Sue.
Not that hard of a question. You can Google it and find out Colby's name. I'll give you a big clue there.
Let's talk about Colby. I had to do a deep breath before we... It shocked me that that's who died in this episode. But then at the same time, I felt like he represented a bigger... Because I was thinking after the show, I was like, why did they kill him off? You know, number one, we got a lot more cowboying this episode than if you remember last episode of our podcast. You're like, I think we're done with the cowboys. And I kind of was like, maybe, maybe not. And then I laughed. I was like, Billy, this entire episode is mainly the Cowboys, which I'm here for. But I think his death, and we can go more in depth. This is just me kind of like overarching statement. But I think his death more so represented, I'm like, by killing him off, I think it's representing that the Dutton Ranch is falling apart in so many different ways. Like, things are starting to unravel and someone had to die and they chose him. Like, they're not going to kill off Lloyd, thinking of the people who are at the ranch right now.
I agree with that. I think, I do think Lloyd is vulnerable. I do think they will kill off Lloyd, or very well could. That would be very, very sad, but it wouldn't shock me in terms of a death I never saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Colby, he didn't really have, you know, he never really had a role on the show. He was sort of like that, you know, he was best known kind of for being like Teeter's boyfriend. Or like, honestly, he was the only black guy on the show outside of the new sheriff.
Yeah.
I think, but he never, and he was funny. He was a good dude. He was friends with Ryan, but Ryan was sort of like second in command. Lloyd was sort of the veteran. Carter was the kid. Walker was the singing guy. You know, everybody kind of had a little thing, and Colby never really That's knew true. What to do with him.
That's true. Well, they didn't even take him to the 4-6s. Like, he was back at the ranch. Right. Like, he didn't play a pivotal role in that little posse.
It does look like all the cowboys are coming back from Texas, which is a plot twist I didn't see coming. I mean, we could do an episode on all the ways I was wrong last episode, because there was a lot of them, because here they all come back to back to Montana.
I know. Well, and something I was thinking about is, unless they do another flashback, which, if we remember also last podcast episode, you said we think we're done with the flashbacks. Where does Lainey Wilson come into play here, a.k.a. Abby? I'm like, does she come back to Montana?
I don't think she's coming. I don't think she's going to be in this season. I know that they supposedly filmed some sort of concert scene down in Texas.
In Fort Worth, yeah.
I don't think it made the cut, or maybe it didn't happen, or I don't know. I still think, I mean, we didn't have any new flashbacks in this past episode, so I think we're kind of all caught up in the present tense. And part of the reason I think that is because, after every episode, the Hollywood Reporter has been doing a really nice series where they talk to the director of the episode. And it's mostly been the same woman, Christina Voros, who's directed the first 4 episodes. And she's been insightful to a degree. But one of the things that they shared was kind of, we're all caught up now. So if Lainey shows up, it's going to be kind of in the present tense as Ryan is in this ranch drama.
Gosh,
or maybe this was our mistake here. They were calling for that in Fort Worth, but maybe it's still a Montana scene. You know, it might have been filmed in Fort Worth.
That's true.
But maybe it's still to come in the present day.
And if not, we've got to talk to her.
Yes.
that would be such a bummer if you did film and you got cut.
Mm-hmm. I think it happens.
I know it happens. It's just a bummer if it ends up happening.
Well, to break down Colby's death, Carter is in with... He's in the stalls and he's feeding the horses, giving them water. And they've been talking about this one horse they call the Man Eater for several episodes now. It's just a bad horse. Rip one of them neutered, and then he wanted them put down, and they were going to send him to Mexico. He's just a horse that no one can get a control of. So Carter goes into his stall to give him some water and gets cornered by the horse. The horse won't let him leave. Colby comes in, tries to help, gets Carter out of there. But in doing so, the horse bucks up and just thumps Colby to the chest, knocks him down, and then presumably stomps him out after that. And it must have been obvious he was dead, because no one is as much as even tried to give CPR or like do anything to, like, it was just pulse. Oh, he's dead. That's funny that.
Funny that you said that. I literally thought that. I was like, wow, no one really, this was not too thorough. Mm-mm. It was like, checked his neck. Okay. Time of death, whatever time.
Yeah, that I thought. I mean, get the heart paddles. I mean, you got to do something here, guys.
Yeah, nothing. It's like, all right, take him to the train station. Bye bye.
There was some very casual sort of moments in this show where, like, people reacted in ways I would not have. Like when Ryan tells Teeter that Colby's dead, he tells her and trots off.
Well, he doesn't. You have to remember, Teeter's not a big, like, emotional girl. And I feel like she's one of the bros in that group. And so I don't think with her personality, like, the fact that she even said, I love you, to Colby isn't necessarily her warm nature. So I don't think him embracing Teeter would have been natural. Like, in the scene, he tells her, you can tell they're both distraught. He doesn't completely trot off. He trots a little bit away, and then it looks like he's breaking down. Like, it's not like he's going, alrighty, here's what happened, bye, got a blast.
Taylor Sheridan's Travis, same way, tells Jimmy about John's Dutton death and trots away.
I cried again. Yeah. I was like, oh, I mean, I always have a soft spot for Jimmy. And then when he was going to say, I think he was going to say he's the only one who believed in me about John Dutton. He didn't get fully through the sentence. Yeah. And I that's when the waterworks started to sob. I was like, Addison, this is not, if we're this emotional, maybe there's something deeper that I'm dealing with that I'm not aware of. I don't know. It just got me.
A fun little aside is the way that Teeter told Colby, I love you, where she said it and then quickly hung up the phone. Uh-huh. That's exactly how my wife told me I love you for the first time.
Are you serious?
And hung up the phone. Yeah. Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
It was pretty comical. I mean, I've been telling my wife she's like a Tennessee Teeter and she hasn't really liked that very much, but now I have a little more proof.
Yeah.
I don't tell my wife that.
Yeah. I was like, Billy, I don't... It could be taken as a compliment, and it could also not be taken as a compliment.
So it sounds like Colby's going to be buried maybe on his own family's property. Like he has some family that accepts him. Like he's not like an outcast like some of the other characters on the show, Walker mm-hmm. and Jimmy, Lloyd, Rip, etc. Like he very much had options if he wanted to leave the ranch.
Well, Beth comes in to – and gosh, this is – I mean, I did enjoy – this scene in the bunkhouse where it's just her and Lloyd, she comes in with the box and you can just tell we see a softer side to everyone, to Lloyd. I mean, not that he has a harsher side, but, you know, you just see this emotional side to him, a more soft side to Beth. And she comes in with a box saying, you know, I want to pack up Colby's stuff because his mom wants it. And so it sounds like Colby has a family. It's not like he's an outcast.
Emotional soft Beth is really appealing. Mm-hmm. It's good to see. And we saw that not only with Lloyd, but she goes into the tack room to talk to Carter, who's in a way. And I think that was, you know, that's a scene that I think you really have to consider in terms of talking about the future after this show. Like she's more or less stated, I think she had previously, that they consider Carter family. Mm-hmm. So now we hear all these rumors about a potential season 6 or some sort of spinoff that stars Kelly Riley and Cole mm-hmm. Hauser. Mm-hmm. To me, that has to include Finn Little as well.
I agree.
They come in a trio. If he dies, that would be...
That would be kind of dark for a kid to die.
That's the one. As dark as this show has been, they haven't mistreated kids yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about that if that's where that would go.
Although he's not really a kid.
He's a teenager. He's not an adult.
He might be 18.
There's no way.
He could be. I don't know. But nonetheless, he I don't anticipate that happening either. And I would struggle with that, I think. Yeah. Those are good scenes. R.I.P. Colby.
R.I.P. Colby. It just makes me think, I'm like, gosh, I don't know what to expect for the rest of the season. And I would love for you to kind of set the stage for this, but pretty much Casey has a revelation, if you will, about what his vision in the past seasons has meant.
This is a low-key pivotal moment of the episode, I thought. Mm-hmm. He mm-hmm. makes that phone call right after talking to Tate in the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And to me, it sounded like he had decided that the ranch wasn't their home prior to talking to Tate. He didn't decide it in the moment. But he calls Mo. I didn't realize that at first. I'm like, who is Casey calling? But he and says, I've made my choice. It's become clear to me. I'm going to choose my family. And then he moves forward with that decision. And that has a couple of implications. The first of which is, if he's choosing his family, meaning Monica and Tate, that could go at odds with Beth. Like, they're not in lockstep anymore. And I think we saw the first of that when Beth doesn't know that Casey has left. Like, there could be some tension there.
Good point.
So I think that's set up. So he's going to do what he has to do to protect his family. And I get the feeling that they're going to move off the ranch here at the end of the day. He does not want the ranch. He doesn't want Tate to have it. So the Casey Dutton family is going to be free and clear ultimately of the property, I think, by the end of this series.
Yeah, I don't know who ultimately ends up getting this ranch, but I think Beth and Rip will also walk away from it.
I think the leader, the best theory I know is that it's going to go to Chief Rainwater and the natives, just like was discussed in 1883. Seventh generation would be Tate. It's going to go back to Chief Rainwater's people. Like that to me just sort of makes the most sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't feel like we end Yellowstone with market equities getting it. Like that's just kind of, I think it's going to end in a like, oh, not the people that we thought would have it, but it's still a happy ending.
I'm not sure we'll see market equities again. I'm struggling to fit how they'll play into the plot moving forward and who they are. Ellis? Like, I don't think Ellis is sticking around.
Should we talk about, speaking of market equities, Sarah Atwood? You were wrong about Cade.
100%.
Cade is wrong. Casey's fellow. He was in the military with him, or the he was a sniper. Wait, what? Oh my gosh!
Seals.
Thank you. I was like, wait, that I need to clarify. And you thought he could have been the hitman because of very, very valid reasons. but
I was stretching.
Yeah, we learned that's not the case. Well, you were stretching, but I mean, you even made me kind of ponder last episode of like, wait, shoot. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
So Casey and Cade ultimately connect, and Cade, who is a SEAL friend, gives Casey information on Grant, who Sarah hired. And they're aware of Grant. They seem to know Grant from their days as Navy SEALs. If you kind of squinted in on that little bio card they had of Grant, you could see that he was also a Navy SEAL. Don't worry, I did.
Yeah, I was like, well, and we leave that up to Billy to put his little binoculars on.
You could see he was in the SEALs for a long time, and then he worked for some other different types of security firms. So through that, he's able to get exactly a pretty precise location for him, and he goes Grant hunting, more or less, goes and tracks him down. And I thought he was going to kill him, which is kind of un-Casey-like, because Casey doesn't really kill people just in sort of in cold blood. He kind of looks for reasons to let people live.
Yeah.
But he gets in the back of the Mercedes with them, and they have a really good conversation, I felt like. Really understand each other.
Yeah, very civil conversation. Absolutely no one raising their voice or being stern. No, I mean, I truly, when I saw that he was in the car with his daughter, I was like, there's no way.
No.
I was like, Casey's a father. He has a heart. He is not about to kill, number one, the child, or kill the hitman. I mean, what's that guy's name again?
Grant Horton.
He's not going to kill Grant in front of the child. There was no way. When I saw that, I was like, mm-mm, won't happen.
So he does something at the end that has some significance. At least it kind of ties things back to the kind of the Native American tradition that the show sort of weaves in. First thing is to know that is that Mo Brings Plenty, who plays the character Mo, he's sort of like the consultant on all of these things. So if something happens on Yellowstone, you can kind of believe it's as authentic as it can be for the screen. And he does something called counting coup. And it's coup, not coop, even though it's spelled C-O-U-P. They're not out there counting chickens. But what it is it, the idea is you get close enough to your enemy to be able to hit them with your hand or what they call a coup stick. The enemy is unharmed, but if you get away, it's a great act of courage. It's considered one of the highest honors of the Plains Indians back during the intertribal wars. Mm-hmm. It was a great honor for a warrior to count coup. And in this case, it also lets the enemy know that you're serious, that he means business. And I think that's what Mo wanted Casey to do, how he wanted to tell him not that he meant that he was very serious about all of his threats. Mm-hmm. And it tied it back to the sort of that Native American heritage. And Casey now is like, he's very much accepted in the Native American community, like, which is kind of strange to me at times, but like, I feel like there's a brotherhood there that, is shared on both sides.
I don't think it's strange because of who he's married to.
Yeah, but at the beginning of the series, he was such an outsider. I do wonder how often that happens in real life. Like, I'm sure that, you know, Native American women marry non-natives all the time, but how often are they accepted into like almost being one of the tribe? And I don't know. But it was a good thing to Google, counting coup. That's a hot Google topic right now. If you can get the SEO win on what is counting coup, oh, really? Man, you're in for a traffic windfall, Addison. Huh. Woo, count those page views. Just woo, woo, woo.
Because of the show?
You get a page view. Huh?
Because of the show?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dang.
I'm not the only one who Googles obscure things like this.
It's just interesting that that many people. I mean, that's amazing. That, I mean, I should be doing that more when I don't know something.
Again, though, I feel like this puts an end to this plot line. Like, Marquard Equities is left. Now maybe Grant is done with. So we have two episodes left. It feels like Casey and Beth, in certain ways, are aimed towards Jamie. There's this police investigation that I feel is going to run independently from what Jamie and Beth are doing now. And maybe even kind of race each other to get to Jamie. Like, I don't think we're worried about this big, mean villain of Grant the Hitman and his people.
Yeah, I agree. He's just like, we have an understanding and I won't ever touch your family.
Which leaves me with no theories about what's going to happen in the next episode. I have very little. I'm very curious to know what Jamie's next play is.
Survive.
I would think he has to do something, take the action to him somehow. Like, that's what he's going to do. He's going to try to go down fighting in some sort of Jamie Dutton kind of way, but I don't know what that looks like in his position.
I for sure don't.
Yeah. By the way, I got a great email from someone after last night's episode that asked if Colby was the first cowboy or the first person in Yellowstone to actually die doing cowboying stuff. Was he like the first? Because they always talk about how dangerous the job it is, but we've never actually seen like anybody die doing it.
Is Colby the first? Because that's a good point. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait. Yeah.
I think so too. I can think of that old guy from season 5, part 1 who died on the trail. John's friend. Remember he died under the tree and they had to bring him home and...
Oh.
I forget his name.
But that was just old age, right? Or it wasn't like...
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't because he put himself at risk.
That's I would agree with that. So like, I don't really count him, but I don't think anybody else has been ever stomped out by a horse or gotten in any sort of run by a cattle or... Jimmy came close, but that was about it.
But that's Jimmy.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Bella Hadid, the fact that she was on? I good job for catching that, Billy. Billy Dukes, y'all, he is watching this show truly with a magnifying glass. I mean, Billy stayed until the credits. Like, he is watching the credits. To find these things.
Is Bella Hadid a well-known name? Do people know who Bella Hadid is?
Well, yeah, the Hadid sisters. Gigi Hadid and Bella Hadid. They're supermodels. They've walked Victoria's Secret runway. Yes, you know who they are. And she's dating not a bull rider. He's in the rodeo circuit. Okay. Shoot, who is he dating? Continue to talk while I Google this.
So this was the oddest little cameo. Like, when Taylor Sheridan has shoehorned in special guests, it's kind of been people like we had Billy Clapper from episode 9, who was the spur maker. Bella Hadid, a supermodel, shoehorned into a rodeo horse training scene. And honestly, I'm not even sure if she made the cut. Like, this was the oddest part to me is, like, she had a credit. Her name was Sadie. But you and I both scoured the episode looking for someone called Sadie. And the best we could come up with this was another woman that shared time with Taylor Sheridan's character and a woman named Danica.
Yeah, and it was the female was going so fast across the screen that you really couldn't tell who she was. But so Bella Hadid is dating, they call him just a professional cowboy, Aiden, A-D-A-N. If I'm butchering all of this. Banuelos. Anyways, and so she has also been doing cutting.
Yeah.
Which is where the horses, you know, they stop abruptly. She actually did one in Fort Worth recently, I think, also with Michelle Randolph, who I also didn't know could ride a horse until I saw it on social media.
Yeah. So she's a talented horse rider. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just like Taylor Sheridan wanted to put some of his hot friends in the show. Like, she has sort of a purpose or a game plan here. It was just so strange seeing that name. Like, you know, next I'm looking for like Paris Hilton.
Well, especially since we didn't see her face. It wasn't like she actually got screen time. If she did, it's just another body to be out there on the in the ring or the arena.
I referred to the Hollywood Reporter's article earlier, that interview they had done with the director, and that's kind of where I learned a few things about upcoming shows on in the Yellowstone franchise. For example, apparently this was out there, but I did not see it, but the 4-6s show is kind of it's not in production. It's basically they paused any concept of it, and the reason being is Taylor bought that ranch and there's so many working families on that ranch. He hasn't figured out how to shoot the show without interrupting the lives of all the families that work on the
Horses Ranch. Oh, that's interesting. Huh.
That's his excuse there. 1944 was another confirmed, at some point, sequel to the show. I don't know anything new about that. But I do know that a lot of the crew from Yellowstone is going to go and immediately start working on The Madison in early 2025.
What's The Madison?
This is the sequel. This is the Yellowstone sequel starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
Gosh, Michelle? Wait. Oh, I said Michelle Randolph. Michelle Pfeiffer is what I meant.
What's the movie she's in? Gangster's Paradise. She's the teacher. She was Catwoman, too, in one of the early Batman movies.
Wait, I'm looking up. I'm now thinking of someone different.
Michelle Pfeiffer. She's an older actress. She's probably... She might be 60 by now.
Don't you worry. I'm looking her up. Oh, yeah. She's 66. Good job.
66. Dangerous Minds. That's what I'm thinking of. Batman Returns. She played...
I know exactly who she is.
What Lies Beneath. Yeah, she's a great actress. But she's in a show called The Madison. And that all but confirms that that's going to be sort of the next priority for Taylor Sheridan after the new year. Hopefully he gets 1923 season 2 in the can, because we do know that's already started filming as well.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. Many things.
So many things.
So many things.
What else? Because you're like, I want to shoehorn thoughts, teasers, all the above throughout this episode. What other ones do you have for me?
Well, Colby being the first guy to sort of die on the trail was one of them. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of naturally got into a few more, like Lainey Wilson not being a part of it. And some of my the Madison knowledge. Those were sort of the big things, I guess, I wanted to talk about. But I'm curious now, before we get to the Q&A, your thoughts on Landman as well.
Well, I made it sound like I've been an avid watcher, which I am. I didn't watch the last episode. I didn't watch last Thursday. It's every Thursday, right? I can't remember when I last watched it at this point.
No, it drops on Sundays. We've had four episodes.
Okay, so I didn't watch the last episode. I've enjoyed it because I mean, I've said this on the podcast before. One, grew up in Texas. Two, Papa Jay, my grandpa, was in oil and gas law. They live in Lubbock. So I feel like I've always had somewhat of a pulse on it. Also, they shot one of the scenes at my aunt and uncle's country club in Fort Worth.
Oh.
Yeah. My uncle got to watch it. And so I feel like I've just been in it I just understand it a little bit more, a little bit, emphasizing the word a little bit. I've enjoyed it. I think for me, it feels, obviously, A-list actors. The production of it has felt a little lacking. Like some of the I don't think oil rig is the correct terminology, but when the oil, there was a fire and all the above, it just didn't look, I'm like, I know Taylor Sheridan has so much money for these shows. It just didn't feel, I don't know. There's just been scenes in Yellowstone that I'm like, whoa, that looks real or is real. Or I don't know. There's been just some scenes in Landman that I was like, it looks like CGI. That's me being really nitpicky.
is what you're looking for. Pump jack. Those are pump jacks that caught fire.
Thank you.
It's not a show that allows as much conversation, I think, as Yellowstone. Like, I haven't really been able to get in there and needle around for different theories on what's going to happen.
I agree.
Arguably, and I'm going to say this, but keep in mind that I do really like the show. There's not really a clear plot.
No, I agree. Yes, correct.
But it's still kind of building. Like, I don't know necessarily. Maybe that's the same about Yellowstone, too. Maybe it took a few episodes. The acting is great. It is interesting learning about that rule, or about that world. Billy Bob Thornton's character is captivating.
Yeah, he's...
His wife and daughter were really fun the first two episodes, but man, they got to start serving a purpose. Like,
they're just whiny.
They're just whiny and naked, and I need a little more from... I feel like that old dude who shares a house with Billy Bob Thornton every time they're on screen. This is partly because I watched, like, the last four episodes with my mom and dad who were in town. Like, you know, it's like, come on, let's... You got to do something here, girls. You got to give me some...
No,
reason to watch.
I agree. That's why, like I said, wasn't bending over backwards to watch it yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a great scene in episode 4, right near the beginning, that involves the lawyer. And Sterling had a chance, who we're going to break it to in a minute here, had a chance to talk to her. And that article is at tasteofcountry.com. Talked to her about this scene where she has, it's one of the best scenes so far of the show. It's all centered around her, and it's really kind of her breakout moment on the show, I feel like.
Oh, maybe I need to watch that tonight then.
It's very good. I'm enjoying it. I like it more than Landman so far, but, you know, I like it more than Tulsa King so far, but I really liked season 1 of Tulsa King too. So we'll wait till I get to the finale before I kind of decide.
Give your hard 2 cents.
I think so. Yeah.
Should we get to some Q&A or
quite a bit today. Let's kind of rapid fire through them here, because I know we got a bit of a long pod, and there's 5 questions, I think, that you sent me.
The first one is from Roy, who says, why did it say first one episode left till the season finale and not series finale?
This is you know how sometimes I've bit on some of these crazy fan theories, like John Dutton's not dead. Jamie's tricking us. This is the hook. This is the bait for this one too, is like, oh, it said season finale, not series finale, Billy. You should, maybe there's more. I'm not biting. I don't know. I think maybe it was a misspeak is the best I'm coming up with, but it did. At the end of it, they do that little teaser about next week, and they said one episode left till the season finale, not series finale. As if there's another season.
Yeah. I think we don't need to lose sleep over that one. Jared says, Billy, proud of you, finally jumping off the Team Jamie train.
I think we both jumped off for good.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
Over him.
Yeah. I'll take the flowers there. I had a rough week last week with my bad predictions, so I'll take Jared's applause on that one.
Kimberly says, Lee Dutton was definitely the most shocking death. I still think about it.
So we had asked after Sarah Atwood's death what was the most shocking, and I think that's true. I would say Lee Dutton probably was more shocking. It was episode 1, season 1, such a big character dying. That probably was more shocking than Sarah Atwood's, but Colby's death is like, that's in the top 5, I think.
Yeah. Chad says, as far as I remember, Don Olivieri, who's played by Sarah Atwood, is the only person I can think of who was killed twice in the Yellowstone series. She was killed as Claire Dutton in 1883 and then again as Sarah Atwood in Yellowstone. I haven't thought about that. That's a great point.
And both times she was killed with a gunshot to the head.
Rough character to be playing.
And she just started on Lioness, another Taylor Sheridan show. So,
good Lord, I didn't realize that.
I really
working hope overtime.
Poor Don Olivieri just gets shot in the head wherever she goes. Like,
when that's your bit as a character,
that's her hook.
The last one I have for us is just from YouTube, and it says Duttons will prove market equities paid for the hit and win a multi-billion-dollar suit. Casey keeps the ranch. Rip and Beth move to the 4-6s to run it. I don't think so. Not after this episode.
I don't know if this is true, but there's a path to this being true. Like I hadn't thought of a way the Duttons could truly win it all, but this is a way, right?
It is. But after what Casey said about really wanting to just wash his hands clean of the ranch, I just don't see.
True. That part I don't see. But yeah, the Duttons proving the Margaret Equies did it. Maybe Jamie say he doesn't share the family secrets, but he outs Sarah Atwood and his intentions and just sort of takes his whips in jail. And then Beth and Rip move to the 4-6s ranch. I don't think they're going to be running it. That ranch is pretty well run on its own. They don't need Beth's drama, but they can move there to work it and maybe run an arm of it.
Yeah.
It's possible. It was of the third. We got so many comments on YouTube, I couldn't even keep up with them. I'm telling you, like the last two videos we did, 300,000 to 400,000 views each, and like 300,000 to 500,000 comments.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, I could not keep up with the comments. I did for a little while, but and actually, as we speak, I just dropped one. We just dropped one. It was our episode 12 recap video, which doesn't have too many comments yet. It just dropped a couple of minutes ago.
I was about to say, we just got that one live.
We just shared it, but yeah, really appreciate you listening and watching those videos as well.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can always add your comments, your hot takes, your theories. If you just want to say hi to us, that's also fun. You know, never know when we might need to read one of those. And also, it's just always appreciated when you guys leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcast, put it on your Instagram stories and tag us. Where buy the merch, tag us. I check all of our Instagram DMs, so we do see them when you tag us.
I'm going to buy you a couple of minutes here to get your thoughts straight on this close and remind people that conversation with Sterling Whitaker about Landman. If you're kind of on the fence about watching Landman, we just kind of talk about the show in broad strokes, no real spoilers, I don't think, but it's kind of a good kind of getting to know you, and we'd love your feedback on if you're into Landman, if you'd like us to talk about it a little bit more, or the opposite. You don't really care about it. That's good feedback.
Well, y'all, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast, look, I didn't butcher it that time, is another flavorful Town Square Media podcast.
A new word for a new day.
I know. Well, haven't used that one yet in all of our seasons, all of our
delicious
episodes.
See ya.
Bye.
Sterling, I'm christening you the Dutton Rules podcast Landman expert now, since you're the one who's watched all the episodes. You enjoying the show?
I enjoy it very, very much, actually. Yes.
Give people a little bit of a premise of Landman. What's the plot? Who's it about? You know, who's the star? Kind of give us a snapshot of the show.
So Billy Bob Thornton plays a landman, which is a guy who works for a big West Texas oil company. He is in charge of securing the land and the mineral rights, and then managing all the people and the teams that it takes to get the oil out of the ground. And so it's a really, really high stress kind of a thing that some of what they have to do to maintain their positioning isn't necessarily ethical or legal, you know? And so that's where all the tension in the show comes from.
And I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the very first scene of the very first episode kind of shines a light right on what you're talking about there. He's negotiating with drug dealers, and it gets violent and ugly. But
absolutely,
it seems like Billy Bob Thornton's character has been there before.
Yeah. You get the impression there's not much he hasn't seen.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I thought it was really interesting that Billy Bob Thornton returned to that area of Texas because fans may recall that Friday Night Lights was kind of based in the same area of Midland, Odessa, Texas. So it's sort of a return home of sorts for him.
Absolutely, yeah. And he plays the role so well. You know, this role was written for him specifically, and it really does suit his talents. It fits like a glove.
What's his character's name?
Tommy Norris.
Donnie? Danny? Tommy. I knew it was one of those
common, really common names.
Okay, so we got Billy Bob Thornton as Tommy. Who are some of the other key characters in the show and any of the cast, if you know the names?
Allie Larder, who used to be on Heroes, is his ex-wife, and she's a main character and a really, really interesting character, a very, very flamboyant character. Without giving it away, you know, she tends to make big scenes in public and both in public and in private, really. Yeah. His daughter is Michelle Randolph, who fans have seen in 1923 if they've been watching the Yellowstone universe.
Yep.
And so, yeah, she plays his daughter, and there's actually some, as dark as this show is at times, there's some real comedy, and a lot of it centers around the ex-wife and the daughter, and, you know, how
totally
it's a real culture clash of them in the oil fields and these grizzled oil workers, you know. So that's another character.
I watched the first two episodes. I think your episode ahead of me, but I watched them with my mom. And there's some scenes that involve the daughter, including like a conversation about, to put it mildly, the birds and the bees that he has with his daughter. And yeah. It's just an uncomfortable moment to watch sitting next to your mom. I think some of the language that they use and some of the things that she says is like, whoa.
You know, that moment that you're referencing actually reminded me a little bit of some of the stuff that used to pass between John and Beth Dutton on Yellowstone, when he would say, oh, come on, Beth, I know we have this man-to-man thing going on, but there's got to be some limit, you know?
100%. It's weird. Michelle Randolph, she was, I believe, Jack's wife in 1923, and at the time her character was a little older, and now she's playing, I think, like a 17-year-old girl, but... she's very beautiful, and that's a big part of like her role early on, is like her beauty and sort of the way men are attracted to her. But it's weird to sort of watch that in this scene, but very entertaining. It does provide a little bit of relief from the rest of the show, which is, you know, maybe not as dark as some other Taylor Sheridan shows, but heavy.
Right. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say there's as much direct violence, or at least not right at first. But it does have some darker themes. But the overarching theme of this is how money that's associated with the oil companies basically just wins in the end. You know, no matter what anybody tries to do to oppose these people, they just have so much money that it always ends up winning out.
John Hamm, and I know Demi Moore are in the cast. Who do they play?
John Hamm plays the owner of a big oil company, and he is Billy Bob Thornton's character's boss. So he's the guy who, you know, who at one point or another, he actually ends up telling one of his corporate lawyers, you know, I know it's unorthodox, but we have to have a guy like this. Every oil company has to have a guy like this, or you can't get anything done, you know? And then Demi Moore plays his wife, and it's really kind of, it's the only thing I think is a little bit of a misstep about this show. I don't really understand why you'd go out and get an actress of Demi Moore's stature and put her in such a tiny, tiny little role. She does almost nothing in this show.
Is it possible maybe later episodes she'll have more of a role, or does she have a job that's pivotal to?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I've seen 5 episodes because they sent 5 screeners.
Oh.
Yeah. And she, like in one of them, she's just carrying around a pitcher, literally not even speaking. It's like, why is Demi Moore in this little, you know, it's very, very strange.
Yeah. They, so during the CMA Awards in Nashville a couple of weeks ago, Mark Colley was making the rounds, who's a country singer. And I didn't realize that he is actually in this show, Landman. I think, is he the sheriff? Is that
he's the
his
sheriff,
role?
Yes. Yeah. And he's also Tommy Norris's longtime friend. So there's a little bit of push-pull between the law and the friendship there going on, which is an interesting layer.
Yeah, it was a funny moment. The Oak Ridge boys came across Mark Colley in the room there, and they're like, hey, Mark, we saw you in The Landman. So apparently William Lee Golden and Dwayne Allen are big fans of Taylor Sheridan's work.
I could see that. Yeah, for sure.
Some of the cast, so you mentioned Michelle Randolph being in 1923. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of others that have been in previous Taylor Sheridan shows. I mean, I guess you could count Billy Bob Thornton because he was in 1883 for an episode.
He was, yeah.
But the one actor who's in almost everything that Taylor Sheridan does, James Jordan,
yeah,
has a role in this. And I don't know really what to make of his role yet. He seems to have a use or a purpose, but right now he's just kind of comedic relief.
A lot of it is that, yeah, he tends to be that in this role.
And then I thought I recognized some of those. Are there others from Taylor Sheridan universe that make an appearance?
Those are the only two, or those are the only ones I've recognized. That doesn't mean there aren't others. He does recycle people a lot, you know. As a matter of fact, it's funny because James Jordan is also currently in Lioness. And
yes,
and they air back to back, and you're seeing the same dude in two different roles back to back, and it gets a little weird at times.
Yeah, he's kind of taken pains to avoid that in other instances. I know in Yellowstone, the actor Hugh Dillon, who played Donnie Haskell, exited that show so he could go on to star in Mayor of Kingstown. And then I think we can reasonably assume that Don Olivieri's character Sarah Dutton is off of Yellowstone because it's time for her to go beyond Lioness for the next two episodes of the season.
Right, right. Which we have no idea what her character is, I don't guess. But
no.
Yeah, I think I'd say getting shot like five or six times kind of wraps your character.
It does. It does. So this show is kind of interesting to me because it's the first show I can think of that was inspired by a podcast. Mm-hmm. A podcast called Boomtown that came probably 6 or 7 years ago. It was in coordination with an outlet called Texas Monthly. And I listened to the podcast about a year or so ago, and I got mostly through it. It was interesting. It didn't hold my attention the whole time, but it really sort of explored the ups and downs, the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, and sort of all the various types of people that kind of make this this oil boom in the Permian Valley tick. And from there, like some of the things that happen are pretty vividly described. I think even in like the first episode, there's a scene where they go get coffee and there's this coffee bar where the women are wearing like bathing suits or lingerie or very little. I think that's even sort of described in this Boomtown podcast.
How interesting. No, I never heard the podcast.
It's pretty good.
But,
you don't need to hear the podcast to enjoy the show. I'll say that that's for certain.
Right.
If you want a little more background information, you can probably listen to it. But I think this show you can really enjoy just sort of free of any sort of knowledge of the podcast or even knowledge of what the oil industry is all about.
Yeah, they pretty well explain it as you go along. It's really well done. Imagine that podcast creator. What a stroke of good luck he fell into. You think you're just starting a podcast, and next thing you know, you're collaborating on a TV show with the king of television, you know?
Right. I mean, if anyone wants to make a TV show about a television recap podcast, I'm willing to take that check, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think.
Sign us up, Taylor. Come on, man.
What? I know you're a big fan of this show. I mean, you're five episodes in. I think episode 4 airs this. Well, it will have aired yesterday after I've watched the first two episodes. What does this show do well? What are kind of your favorite parts of this show, and what kind of makes it one of Taylor Sheridan's premium shows?
I like the balance. It's got a better balance than I would say Yellowstone, certainly, or Lioness. There's very little in the way of humor in Lioness. But I like the balance of drama and humor because there really is some humor. This character of Billy Bob Thornton's is very self-deprecating, and he plays it, you know, the way he's played a lot of other characters because it was written for him. It's kind of like this almost constant eye roll of you know, other people and how little patience he has for other people and the crazy stuff they do, you know. So there's a lot of humor, which I appreciate.
It's less like Pulp Fiction-y than Tulsa King, which in season 2, especially early on, was corny at times. It kind of has gotten better towards the end, but But it's you're right. It's not as serious as Linus. And I didn't watch Mayor of Kingstown. Does it kind of compare in tone to Mayor of Kingstown, or is it one way or the other compared to that show?
I have only ever seen one episode of Mayor of Kingstown, so I can't say a whole lot about it. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
For whatever reason, when I started to watch that, I just didn't connect with it.
Yeah. Does, I had a follow-up question and I just went whoop, out of my mind there. That. All right. So you're five episodes in, should we sort of brace ourselves for some big plot changes and shifts like we're used to in some of these shows, or is it just kind of play out like a procedural?
Not to give anything away. Yeah. Not to give anything away, but there's a really, my favorite scene so far is in episode 4. So that's coming up on what, Sunday? That's coming up on Sunday.
That just played. Yeah, because we'll, so full disclosure, we're recording the day before Thanksgiving, but this is going to air on December 2nd, Monday. Right. So yeah, we'll have just played last night.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's,
we'll give people a chance
one
to
of the
watch
coolest
it.
Yeah. scenes that I've seen. And then episode 5 ends in something quite unexpected. Without getting into what it is, it absolutely stunned me.
So I guess my question for anybody listening is the degree to which you'd like to see us kind of, you know, Yellowstone's ending on the 15th of November, and you know, we'll cover the next shows in that franchise when they start, but it's not clear when 1923 is going to start. This show Madison, if that even exists, is certainly down the road a bit. We'd like to sort of be able to plug in some more other shows into what we do here. You know, the degree to which Landman is that show, I guess we'll look for a little bit of feedback. If you want to let us know at staff@tasteofcountry.com. Yellowstone really lends itself to like some investigating. Like you can really pick up on clues and sort of try to figure out what's going to happen. I haven't gotten that sense from Landman quite yet. It feels a little bit more what you see is what you get.
That's probably true. It would be a lot harder. I haven't been recapping this show, but it would be a lot harder to recap this show, I think, than Yellowstone, because it doesn't have as many. It's not so much about unanswered questions in the next episode or whatever. You know, it's more of a narrative.
Okay. Is it clear if this show is going to be, if there's potential for a second season, or it could be like 1883 where it's just going to be one season and done?
You know, nobody has said one way or the other. I suppose it really comes down to if the characters remain alive. You know, I think the ratings have been really, really strong so far. So certainly I would think the network, if they could get him to do a second season, they would want to, you know.
I wish Taylor Sheridan spread these shows out a little bit, you know, give us a spring show, because Tulsa King, Lantman, you know, Lioness, Yellowstone, like we can't create content and recap all of them. We have to kind of pick and choose, even though I've watched just about all of season 2 of Tulsa King and getting into Landman, but I still got Lioness on my plate. So like, I don't have time to keep up with all of Taylor Sheridan's work in the fall.
Yeah, it's exhausting. You can imagine what it is like for him, you know. It's exhausting for us just trying to keep up with it, much less create that much television. You know, there's something a little bit strange about a guy who can do that. I mean, he has to be wired a little bit differently to
for sure
have that kind of overwhelming ambition. Ambition's great, but that's a pretty extreme form.
Landman, Paramount. It's on Paramount Plus. So this is the streaming offering, not Paramount Network. And I think it runs into January. I believe it's a 10-episode season. So the finale is scheduled for somewhere in mid-January, if the internet tells me correctly.
That sounds right.
And if I'm not mistaken, you have an interview that might be live currently at tasteofcountry.com with one of the stars of the show.
So I actually have a few interviews in the can, and I'm kind of rolling these out as episodes there that they're relevant to. So we rolled out Billy Bob Thornton first, and then there's an interview coming with Kayla Wallace, and it pertains to that episode 4 scene that I was telling you about.
Gotcha. Kayla Wallace is a lawyer. She's sort of the lawyer for the oil company, but doesn't necessarily... She's a little idealistic. I don't know. I don't know her character too well. I just met her in episode two, but it seems like there's going to be some... her and Billy Bob Thornton's character will be at odds in some sorts of way.
Maybe. She has a really, really important scene in episode four that changes the arc of the character, I think, a little bit.
Good, good, good. All right, staff at tasteofcountry.com. If you want us to keep talking about Landman kind of as the show progresses, we'll return back on Monday with an episode 13 of Yellowstone recap. And be sure to check out the Taste of Country YouTube channel as well, because we do some video coverage and breakdowns and also some episode previews of Yellowstone that you won't hear on the podcast. But appreciate it, Sterling. Anything else we need to know about Landman before we split?
I don't think so. That about covers it, man.
Saving money on power tools at Menards. Skill Power Tools are powerful and easy to use. With over 27 20-volt power tools in stock at Menards, Skill has any tool you need to complete your project for less. Pick up a Skill 20-volt cordless drill kit for just $49. Plus, view our entire selection of Skill 20-volt power tools on Menards.com and the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Sale price good through December 8th.
Four seasons greetings to you all from Menards.